ABC Radio Australia.
Australia's plan for a $2 billion infrastructure fund for Pacific nations has been given the green light after legislation was passed in the Australian Senate last night, paving its way. Now, it's a key part of the Australian government's so-called Pacific Step Up, but many aid groups and the Australian Greens Party have been highly critical of it, saying it will put the interest of Australian businesses ahead of Pacific countries. And they say that it could be used to fund fossil fuel projects in the region. Here's a Greens Senator, Sarah Hanson-Young, speaking in the Senate on Monday.
Right from the outset, the Australian Greens oppose this bill. We think that it is the wrong way to go about supporting our Pacific neighbours. And we're extremely concerned that under this amendment, that Australian taxpayers' money may indeed be going to further worsen climate change with the expansion of fossil fuels in our region.
That is the Greens Senator Sarah Hanson-Young there. Now, despite the opposition from the Greens Party, the bill passed last night in the Senate with the support of the opposition Labor Party. Now, specifically, this bill was an amendment to expand the powers of Australia's Export Credit Agency, it's known as EFIC, so that it can finance overseas infrastructure projects. With the amendments passed, it'll now allow for the Australian Infrastructure Financing Facility for the Pacific to be set up. It's a bit of a long name, so it's more commonly referred to as the Pacific Infrastructure Bank. But several aid groups are voicing their concerns that this bill was rushed through with an election due here in Australia next month. Among them is the aid group Oxfam Australia, and I spoke with Rachel Ball, who's head of advocacy and campaigns at Oxfam, a short time ago.
The bill's been rushed through the Senate without proper scrutiny or debate, and we do have concerns that the approach that it's taking to Australia's engagement in the Pacific is ill-conceived and short-sighted. The Act establishes a model that's really geared to benefit Australian companies and Australian interests, and the Act itself is it contains a requirement that Australian benefit be maximised, but no equivalent requirement that there be benefits for the Pacific that are prioritised or maximised.
Now, I understand that the Senate committee, which did review this and released a report last week, had received advice from Australia's Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade that said that that was fine, it wasn't a problem, because EFIC had signed up to various export credit guidelines, and that it would be carefully assessing any projects, and also particularly any country, i.e. in the Pacific's capacity to repay the loan. Is that not enough for you to be convinced that that projects should be fine?
It's not sufficient. The Act makes it very clear that there must be an Australian benefit. Well, then wouldn't it also make clear that there should be a Pacific benefit that is incorporated in the infrastructure projects that are financed? Yes, EFIC does have some internal policies and procedures in place, but the level of transparency, scrutiny, accountability to ensure that the money is used in a way that genuinely addresses Pacific priorities simply isn't there at the moment.
So what sort of projects are you worried will be given the green light now through this?
Well, at the top of the list is a concern that Australian dollars are going to be used to fund fossil fuel projects in the Pacific, which is the exact opposite of what is needed. We've heard very clearly from Pacific leaders that climate change presents the single greatest threat to livelihoods, wellbeing and security in the Pacific. And we know, as an anti-poverty agency that works in the region, that a greater focus on climate action and helping communities prepare for disasters is urgently needed. And the bill doesn't do either of these things. And in fact, by presenting the opportunity for Australian taxpayer dollars to fund fossil fuel projects, it does the opposite.
A lot of this makes it sound, though, that Pacific Island countries and their leaders will simply be having to stand idle as the Australian government and companies come in and say, we're going to build this for you. Does that do a disservice, though, to Pacific Island countries?
No, I mean, I don't imagine that leaders in Pacific Island countries will stand idle if the investments that are being proposed are not in line with the development objectives and the priorities of their nature of their nations. But that said, the model that's been established doesn't give a strong platform for them to express and assert those concerns, and that's what we're worried about.
Now, of course, here in Australia, we are going to an election very soon next month. Obviously, in this situation, the opposition Labor Party did help pass this legislation. It has supported it, but it has promised a review of it in 18 months if it does win government. Does that not allay some of these concerns that you might have?
Our concerns lie at the very heart of the model that's been established. And a review in 18 months, while it opens the opportunity to do some tinkering around the edges, doesn't provide the chance to address the fundamental problems that we see in the approach that's been taken.